loves us all around his neighborhood. He tells that one is able to make their house a home. He wants to win his world to Christ, but he can't do it alone. So each one can reach one. As we follow after Christ, we all can lead one. We can lead one to the Savior. Then together we can tell the world that Jesus is the way. If we each one reach one. The message is unchanging. Go ye into all the world and share the love of Jesus far away or door to door. You see, just like someone told you that Jesus loves you so, you must tell someone who will tell someone until the whole world knows. So each one must reach one. As we follow after Christ, we all can lead one. We can win one to the Savior. Then together we can tell the world that Jesus is the way. If we each one reach one. So will you go and labor? Will you hold high your light? One by one and two by two, we can win our world for Jesus Christ. And each one can reach one. As we follow after Christ, we all can lead one. We can lead one to the Savior. Then together we can tell the world that Jesus is the way. If we each one reach one. If we each one reach one.
All right, I think we got the handouts there. We are in the Ten Commandments. This is our summer series, but we had a lot of we had some guest speakers and so forth, vacation and a youth conference, so we're a little bit behind, but we'll finish it up here soon. The Ten Commandments, God's law, love, and liberty. We've went through three of the commandments. Of course, the Ten Commandments are God's moral code. They help us with our relationship with God and with one another. And so they're very, very, very important. We've looked at the first three. We said that commandment number one, that God wants an exclusive relationship with us. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Commandment number two goes along with that. God wants nothing to replace him. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And we talked much about that. Last week, we looked at commandment three. We must have the ultimate respect for God. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Of course, we understand that a person's name represents who they are. And so how we treat their name is really what we think of them and how we treat them. And of course, we want to make sure we have the ultimate respect for God. This one comes with, he says, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. It's a big deal. They're all a big deal. All right, let's look at the new one here. Commandment number four. God wants the priority in our life. Exodus chapter 20, we'll read verses 8 to 11. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor any stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Holy means consecrated and set apart. God gave us 1 day. In the Old Testament, that was the Sabbath. It was a day of rest, Saturday, that was given to the Israelites. We are not under that. Okay, so why don't we worship on Saturday? Because we're not under that command. In the New Testament, we see that we worship the Lord on Sundays. The Sabbath was for God's people, the Israelites. But the principle about giving the God priority is still true. And so we worship on Sunday in honor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead on Sunday. We are, if you, you know, around the world, and people look at our country, and we believe, regardless of what the secularists and the humanists and atheists now want to say, America was founded on Christian principles by a majority of Christian men. And now you won't hear that in your school, and all of our founding fathers were not Christians, they were not atheists. I read something of all of our founding fathers in our early government, 60-70% of them had divinity degrees. Okay, and so basically they were trained in Christian principles and got their degrees in those. Not all of them were, but we were founded on that principle. So we have a tendency sometimes to think about our country and look at our country and consider ourselves a worshiping people. We're Christians. We're a Christian nation. Yet, if you take a trip, and I don't suggest you do, to the mall on Sunday during a church time, you go to our parks, you watch our sports and recreation leagues at the parks, you would have a hard time convincing me that we are a religious or a worshiping people. We've changed. Things have changed. Many Christians are at their attitude with churches, well, Sundays at church are okay unless something else comes my way or I want to do something else. Many years ago, as part of our Fort of Flourish, we talked about, and our emphasis was, it ought to be a conviction, not a convenience. And that's what church ought to be. And of course, you're the Thursday night crowd, so you kind of are there, but we're going to look at this tonight. One of the greatest challenges, though, along those lines, and also another reason why we need this day, is we need rest. Now, we live in a our society, especially living in the city, and things are just, seem to be go, go, go all the time, right? And man, you know, it just seems like during the summer, and I'm glad summer's over. Trust me, I'm glad summer's over. But you get on the freeway, there's just a little bit more traffic now. And no matter where you go, it's like you have to wait. And you go somewhere, wait in the line. And we're always busy. And that can be bad for us. That's all. I'm not saying we should do nothing, but being too busy is not good. I read a study that said 43% of people suffer stress because of business. It's business or work related. 75% of visits to doctors are in some way stress related. By the way, if you live that kind of way and you're always go, 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 and you got stress on top of you, your immune system's going to be down. You'll be more susceptible to getting sick. I mean, it's just, and we tend to go 7 days and 7 nights a week. Stress is linked to the 6 leading causes of death. Think about that. God did not intend for us to fight this lifelong battle with stress. Now, he doesn't want us just sitting on the sideline doing nothing. But again, there has to be a balance there. That's one of the reasons he gave us the day to be with him. Part of the rest comes as making God a priority in your life. Look at the verses there, I believe, on your paper. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 30. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." Look what he says. "And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Where do we go in those times when life seems to get us down or we're busy and things are on top of us? We need to go to the Lord. We need to have time we spend with the Lord and here be with his people. Not always just rushing and going and going. And he says even his yoke, what we want to do and for him, that's not even a burden because we're not doing it ourselves. By the way, if people are, you know, you ever hear someone say, well, you know, I just burned out. Sometimes they try to blame God. I was in church and I just burned out. Listen, if you burned out, it's not God's fault. Maybe you're out of kilter in your priorities in some way. Maybe you're not taking care of yourself the way you should. That's not what God wants. And so maybe we, if we come to God and we have the right mentality and the right property, he can help us with that. But God wants the priority. As we look at this command of giving God one day, I want us to notice it from four different aspects. The first aspect, I want us to see the physical aspect. We talked about that. We all need times of rest. Now, I will say this. Some people can take that to the extreme. That's all they do. You know, I think some people are allergic to work. You know, you mentioned the word job or filling out an application. It's like they get a fever and they start to sweat. It always is made, I'm looking for a job. I just can't find one. I don't say it sometimes, but sometimes if the spirit's not right, you know, it's like, well, that's fine. I mean, hey, we're praying for you. How many applications did you fill out this week? Well, you know, I went online and I filled one out. By the way, applications are everywhere. Remember one time, I haven't eaten there in a long time, we were eating at Burger King, and I guess they needed workers because the little paper mat on the tray that held the food was an application. I'm thinking, okay, I think they need somebody here. But sometimes we need to step away. God has a pattern here that he said, listen, you work, but here's that time of rest. And sometimes when we're with God, that's creating rest and restful, and it's helping our spirits. Some people don't, you know, I read the story. There was two men, they were walking down the street together. And there was a sign inside of the window, and it said, no help wanted. And the other guy said, hey, you ought to go apply for that job. You'd be perfect. But we need to be very careful that we're not being detrimental. Both are important, by the way. Work, and then making sure there's times we replenish ourselves. If we don't do that, it can start to interfere with other aspects of our life. By the way, some people say, well, you said we should work and get a job, so I'm working 7 days a week and I'm missing church services. Now, you're here, so probably you're not doing that. But let me say this. That's not good either. Okay? Just work, work, work. I got to make that extra money. And I'm missing church. I can get overtime here and I can do that and so forth. Listen, don't do it to the point where it starts to affect your spiritual life. Some people, it affects their family. In the days back when we used to help girls and guys and take them to and get them in boarding schools to get help, I remember there was one family and they had a couple of daughters that had some issues and they were doing better. And he came back. I think we had a baby at that time. And so they brought us a meal and we invited them in. They sat down. We were just talking with them. And he just started sharing with me. He goes, I know where I started losing my daughters. He goes, I started this business and I was working like 12 to 16 hours a day. I was working 7 days a week, and I was never with my family, and they kind of got out of control. And by the way, he sold that business and got himself a different business that would allow him the time to be with his family. He caught it. We need that balance there. It can affect your health. Look at Mark chapter 6, verse 31. Jesus said this, and he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. They were so busy, he said, hey, come and you need to rest for a while and eat. I felt something on that. Raul, are you with me? Okay. You know, nothing better than a nap than is a meal right afterwards. Okay. I think I'm speaking our language now. Someone has said, if you do not come apart, you will come apart. And so we need to watch for that. So the physical, it's good for us. Number two, let's look at the spiritual aspect of this. We all need the weekly habit of being in church. You know, what would happen if every Christian did something so easy, so accessible, as just simply being faithful to God's house, being faithful to church every single week? It frustrates me sometimes, and I'll confess my feelings to you, trying to help people, particularly, and I have still have my adult class. I love it to pieces. You're trying to help people. You meet someone. Hey, we're going through a struggle. It's like, okay, we can help you with that, but you need to make sure you're at church, you know? It's like, yeah, I know. I need church, and that's going to help me. I'll be there. And they don't show. Now, sometimes in my flesh, back when we used to send postcards for absentees, I want to send them a postcard. Missed you this Sunday. Maybe that's why you're having major drama in your house, Brother Myers. That's the flesh. Okay? I'm thinking, listen, sometimes we're not just doing the basic things that maybe would start to put us on that road to spiritual recovery. And one of those is being in church. Very important for us. The Sabbath is not just the absence of labor. It's the presence of worship. Okay? We're here for a reason. We're here to sing the songs of God. I love the hymns. I know whom I have believed in and am persuaded that he is able. That's a great song. And I tell you what the other ones were if I could remember, but that's the one that really hit me tonight. But you just sit there and you hear him sing. If each one will reach one, it motivates. By the way, sometimes it just makes you think about the Lord. When the offering plate comes by, so I knew you guys mentioned that. That's an investment in the bus ministry. I invest every month in the bus ministry. We've never, ever had a push like we have for the building, like we've had for missions to say, commit to giving something each month to the bus. We never have, but we have. And I remember 2.5 years ago, we'd always given a certain amount to the bus ministry, and we give heavily to the building and missions. And I was just thinking about as I wrote that check, I'm like, man, that's a little number. I've been given that number for years. And so we, you know, 4 or 5 times that amount. I thought, we can do that. Let's just put it in there. It's not a big amount, but it's a decent amount. Why? Was there a push? No, I just want to be involved and invested in it. Okay? When I see the bus children here, I don't think, hey, they're going to mess up the carpet. I'm thinking, there's an investment. There's some fruit from being involved. So spiritually speaking, worship. Hebrews is still true. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know what? One of the things that's encouraging about being at church is being with God's people. It's not just, I came here Sunday morning, I sat down, we heard the message, you know, and maybe if it was a good Sunday and the coffee was good, I actually showed up to Sunday school, that type of thing, and I'm done for the week. By the way, people that are like that, we have a lot on Sunday morning, and thank God for that. Those are new people. We're trying to help them to grow and take that next step. But part of the thing about church is hanging around and getting some good godly friends, isn't it? I mean, you know, Thursday nights, I'm glad we have ours on Thursday night towards the end of the week. But, you know, it's been a long week, and you come to church, and afterwards you get to talk, and you're just refreshed as you're finishing up the work week and getting ready for the weekend and church on Sunday. So it's refreshing. God wanted that one day for sure, totally given to him. You know, it wasn't long ago that in our country, I think they, I'm not remembered. I think they were, they called blue laws. Anybody know? It was blue laws where businesses weren't open on Sunday. By the way, there are some like that. Chick-fil-A. Yeah. By the way, I think Chick-fil-A will eventually change soon. The founder died and they're going a different direction. It's not a church. It's a sandwich, but their chicken sandwiches are still good. There's a place that's by our house. I've been there a couple times, Teriyaki Grill, and a good place, but I noticed they're not open on Sundays. I'm guessing maybe they, I don't think this because they say, hey, let's not make money. I think probably because they go to church or maybe they're Christians. Used to be like that everywhere, but that's not the same anymore. My wife's grandfather, he passed away probably about 4 or 5 years ago, but he would not, he was old school, he would not do any business on Sunday. He wouldn't eat out, nothing. Why? Because it's Sunday. Not saying you need to do that. I'm just saying there used to be that. Nowadays it's different. Factories run 7 days a week. Soccer and sports leagues run. Remember years ago, I had a single guy in my singles class when I had the singles class, and man, he was starting to do well for several months, and he came to me and said, I won't see you for 4 months. My soccer league starting up. Well, it was a lot longer than 4 months before I saw him again. Yeah. But they didn't used to do those things. Remember the great evangelist of the late 1800s and early 1900s. His name was Billy Sunday. How many of you have heard of Billy Sunday? Great revivalist. He was a professional baseball player. Actually, at that time, now it wasn't as big as it is today, but he was the highest paid player of his era. And he was out with some guys. They didn't have a game. He was out with some guys in Chicago, downtown Chicago, and he heard some people inviting people into a gospel meeting at the Pacific Garden Rescue Mission. He went in, and he got saved. God completely changed his life, and he became a great evangelist. He was instrumental in Prohibition. You know what day he got saved and became a Christian? That was Sunday. Because back then, professional baseball, they didn't play on Sundays. So that used to be just ingrained in our society. Now, not only does society not recognize the importance of Sunday, I'm sad to say a lot of Christians don't. And so we need to understand that. Even above our church service time, we need to give the Lord the ultimate priority in our lives. How do you spell priority? There's many ways, but one of the ways you spell it is time. T-I-M-E. I can say that my wife is the priority in my life, but if I never gave her any time, that's a lie. In word, I'm saying it, but in actions, I'm not backing that up. And so if God's a priority, his people, his mission on this earth through his church will be. Let me give you a fill in some of the blanks here, the spiritual. We must, letter A, we must elevate and promote the importance of Sunday church. In fact, the matter is Thursday too, but Sunday church for sure. We now have philosophy that's been prevalent in our society with our Christian churches. You know, we'll have multiple services. Some even have a service on a Friday night or a Saturday night, so that if you're busy and you want to do something on Sunday, hey, just squeeze in God another night of the week. There's just something about that, and maybe I'm just old school. I just think we need to be here on Sunday. I just think there needs to be a day. It's like, listen, I'm not squeezing God into my schedule. I'm squeezing my schedule around God. I'm sorry. Church is a big deal. And we're going to be here on Sunday. I'll probably get sick this week. You know that, right? If you want to go fishing on Sunday, come Friday or Saturday. I just think God deserves a little more like that. We ought to give a little more respect. I like J.C. Penney. J.C. Penney was a Christian man. I got a book that someone, Brother Retriever, recommended, Lines from a Layman. Just really good. It's out of print. I got it on Amazon. And look, here's what he said. And this guy was a very profitable businessman. J.C. Penney said, if a man's business requires so much of his time that he cannot attend the services of his church, then that man has more business than God intended him to have. That'll go against the businessmen of today, right? So let's make sure we elevate it. Letter B. Take care of what we need to take care of on the other days of the week so you can keep it the priority. 6 days shalt thou labor and do thy work. Okay? Something can always squeeze its time into a church service time, right? Always. Well, you know, I need to go do this today. I got some things I got to take care of. Do that on Saturday. Do it when you get home from work. Just make sure your schedule's clear for Sunday. There's things we got to take care of, but it's amazing how if we're not careful, we'll let those things take care of themselves on Sunday and keep us away from being around God's people. Our house, and we've always done this, we do not go out on Saturday nights. Okay, does that mean we go to bed at 8? No. With a family our size, there's people up all the time. Our house is always full, great, you name it, they're there. But it's we've just always kind of did that. Now, our younger days, maybe, you know, I didn't quite have that. We'd go do things on Saturday night. And, you know, we would be dead tired on Sunday morning. But it's like, you know what? Church is a big deal. And so Saturday night's time, be home, be ready. You know, everybody's got their, so we're ready on Sunday morning because that's a big deal to us. So be very, very careful. You can't, You can control your schedule, by the way. Letter C. Realize that we are coming for the Lord. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Listen, it's for the Lord. It's for our relationship with him. Something he has commanded us to do. It'll affect our relationship with him if we don't give him priority and if we can't give him priority that day. Now, I understand. Well, we ought to give God the priority all the time. I'm all in on that. I'm not saying we shouldn't. I'm making a point here. You cannot be the Christian you need to be. You just can't without being connected to church. I've not met them. I've known many. There's either goofy things they'll start to get off and to believe because they're not reaching anybody. They'll see it in their children as they grow up. Church is a big deal. We're all supposed to be in it, so we're exhorting one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. And by the way, I see a day approaching here, and it's not good. We need the encouragement about being around God's word and being around God's people and elevating each other and helping each other in the things of God. God wants his people to meet together for him. Let me just say this. That's why, I'm not being mean here, so I'll back up a second. That's why when we're here at church, let's be here for church. Well, I was on the property. That doesn't count. Okay. Hallway ministry is not it. Unless you're the hallway monitor, amen? Then you better be out there, okay? The nursery. You know, well, you know, I came here for church, and me and my friend were struggling, so we're going to talk over there in the corner. Listen, talk on the cell phone after church. Let's be part of the church service. Outside, too. And by the way, outside, you guys do great. Okay, if you show up late for church, guess what you get? You get to sit outside, amen? And as it's been fine during the summer, but we might actually get some rain this year. But, you know, I used to like sitting outside there. A lot of people from our club, we sat there, but we listened and we paid attention. We, like, enjoyed it. And when they were singing, let's sing. Let's be a part of what's going on here. You say, I don't sing very well. You don't want to hear. That's why it's good that I'm right here. Okay? And I sing this way so people in the choir don't die. But I'll sing. I'm singing for the Lord. And I think he has some kind of something where he filters my sound. By the time it gets to his ears, it sounds good. But down here, it does not sound good. All right, are you with me? Let's have our Bibles with us. And I'm not getting on you and stuff. I strongly suggest that we use a real Bible. Okay, I do. Now, you can, if you see me read my Bible, maybe I shouldn't say this. I'll be crucified by somebody, but I'll live. I read my Bible on my iPad. It looks like a Bible, has a feel of it, and I take notes and everything. And believe it or not, God speaks to me out of that. Okay. But when I come to, and maybe one day I'll use it for my notes, but sure enough, Dave Lucero will start texting me or something. You know, if you're on your iPad, you're going to get text, you're going to get calls, you're going to get all this stuff. If you're using it on your phone, you know what happens. Okay? Look, is there anybody here that is a Denver Broncos fan? Okay, Tim, all right, okay, I'll pray for you too after the service. Anybody else? Say, pray for me. I'm not sure if I die, I go to heaven. Anybody at all? Just those two? Okay. Listen, if I have my phone out and I'm looking, I'm going to be tempted just by accident to tap that page that's going to tell me what the score of the football game is. Now, I won't be tempted on that on Sunday because I'm a Rams fan and they're going to stink this year, I'm pretty sure. All right? But things come the way. But I'm just saying, let's have a Bible and let's look inside of our Bibles and let's get familiar with our Bibles. That will help you. Letter D. Our Sunday attendance for sure shows what we give the priority to, right? Listen, if God's a priority, he gets my Sunday. And by the way, he gets my Thursday night too. And by the way, for me, he gets my Tuesday night when we have soul winning. And he gets Saturday prayer meeting. And I'm not saying, some of you knew you don't get all that. I'm just saying, let's make the church services a priority in our life. It helps us. Number three, the practical. And we have a few minutes and these won't take long. How can I give God the priority on a Sunday, or really anything these will help you with? Letter A, put it in your schedule. And I don't know why, okay? I'm not reading my Bible. Hey, Denver's losing. I have a calendar with all the stuff that I do. I have my schedule for work here, and I have key things in there. Let me see what it is. I never look at it. I feel good that it's in here. But even though I know where I'm at on Sunday and I know where I'm going to be on Thursday, I just put it in there. Church. I don't know Brother Robert because on Sunday I already know what I'm doing. I don't even look at my calendar because my calendar is church and all that. But there's just something about it's in the calendar. This is where I'm going to be. Okay? And that just kind of helps me. But maybe it's not physically. Maybe it's a mental thing. That's my calendar. Sunday's calendar. It's, you know, in the college sometimes we have, the kids can miss cuts and stuff. If we have a special speaker or something, we might have what we call a blackout date, which means unless you're sick, you can't take just a cut, which is just I feel like taking the day off type thing. Because we have a special person there and we set it up for them. You can't take that day. Well, Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and for us that are here Thursday nights, that ought to be blackout date. Okay, I'm here. It's in my schedule unless, of course, I'm sick or something comes up. You know, if your wife's having a baby, I suggest strongly during a church service, I suggest very strongly she go to the hospital and you go with her, all right? You know, you're sick, don't come. We don't want you here. But you know what I'm saying. Just make it a priority. A D, don't let anything interfere other than the things, sick and illness. You know what I'm saying. If we're not committed to it, if we don't commit to it, we're not gonna do it. And there are always good reasons, okay? It's funny how people can miss a church service on a Sunday morning because they're sick, but about 1 in the afternoon, they're well enough to go to the mall, right? I told you about what my grandmother did. I'm not going to tell you again. When I didn't want to go to school, she made me stay in bed all day. Listen, I got healed real quick. You know, my thing is if you're sick, you should be in bed. You shouldn't be doing anything else. If not, then you're just inconvenienced, and you just, you know, I don't know, I swear. If you're really sick and missing, you miss other things, and I'm probably going over your head, and you're getting upset. Letter C, don't let others dictate your schedule. You know, Aunt Martha's having a chicken bake on Sunday morning. Well, she's going to have to eat extra chicken. Now, listen, after church, I'm going to head to Aunt Martha's and get the leftovers, amen? Hopefully she has some mashed potatoes and biscuits and gravy to go with that chicken. But listen, well, you know, I just feel obligated. I don't. I feel obligated to God first and foremost. And so don't let, and people put that pressure on you. Squeeze it in afterwards, but make sure you do what you're supposed to do. Don't let them. Letter D, we mentioned in a sense, don't allow excuses. Some excuses are good. I died. That's a good excuse not to come to church. If you're dead, we don't want you here. But you can still tithe. Don't allow excuses. Letter E, commit to For to Flourish. You say you make a big deal about For to Flourish. That was the key thing, the key step in my life to take me from being just a person who was saved and went to church occasionally to get me to where God wanted me to be. That was the only step I knew. I said, I want to be what God wants me to be. I don't know what that means, but I'm going to go to every church service. And as I was at every church service and started reading my Bible, I figured it out. Okay, but that was a big step. And then the consequences. What if we don't give God the priority? And what, in a sense, what if we don't step back and rest a little bit every now and then, get away from our job and all that? There's physical breakdown. We already mentioned that. By the way, it's more than just physical. You know, the encouragement you need is a big deal, too. Really is. You know, you're down. You just come sometimes to church, and maybe something's weighing on your mind a little bit, and you just start talking to people, and you get a little encouraged, and it's like, you know, things aren't that bad. And that's by the way, that's how it should be. Mental breakdown. That's what happened to Brother Montgomery. Just kidding. Letter C, spiritual bankruptcy. You know, we're just not going to grow in our faith the way we should. I'll just be honest with you. We need more than just reading our Bible. Now, if all you do is come to church and don't read your Bible, it ain't going to work. Okay? You know how I feel about that. But we need the whole package. A spiritual bankruptcy. And then D, family difficulties. You know, our children are watching. And we can sit there and say, church is important, but if Aunt Martha offers chicken and biscuits, and we go to her house for someone's birthday instead of come to church, you can talk to your blue in the face about the importance of church, but maybe they see that, well, it's only important to a certain extent. In other words, the phrase I used at the beginning, it's a convenience, it's not a conviction. Convenience means it's something I'll do if I can do it. Conviction says, you know, boom. You know, for me, I like to buy gas for our vehicles at Sam's Club or Costco because it's 50 cents, 45 cents cheaper than everywhere else. And that's not a conviction because sometimes I'm on empty and I can't get there. So I have to hit the Shelby on my house and I get $10 worth so I can get to Costco. But it's like 50 cents more a gallon. I'm like, how do these people stay in business? Because people like me don't look at my gas gauge. That's why. But this shouldn't just be a convenience. It's a conviction. God wants me to be with his people. And so I'm going to make it a part of who I am. Let's all stand together and we'll pray.